You know, Fairfield County specifically is in a very unique position right now of redevelopment to massive properties. Take Great Island, for example, in Darien, or the former Army engine plant in Stratford, or Manresa Wilds in Norwalk. And we know that as these projects develop and more conversations happen surrounding them, there is opportunity for the public to weigh in. But not everyone is going to agree on what that looks like. And over the summertime, we saw some opposition building for redevelopment to Norwalk's Manresa Wilds. Neighbors increasingly concerned about the project's proposed hotel, restaurants, amphitheater, parking structures, and performing arts uses, particularly because of traffic, noise, and pollution. I do know developers were then trying to pull back, maybe scale back on some of those plans, but I wanted to talk to them directly about this, and we've had neighbors come on who are right there next to where Manresa Wilds is in the midst of being recreated, reimagined, and bringing life back to this area, which is so important. But how do you strike a balance? And so we welcome back to the show Jess Vonischek. And Jess, I always appreciate you and your team of Manresa Wilds for coming on the show as frequently as you do. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having us on again this morning.
Of course. And I want to first talk about what has come out in recent weeks, the opposition, and mostly for traffic concerns. Could you talk a little bit about that and where things are at with proposals on the table for Manresa Wilds?
Yeah, absolutely. So the project still aims for exactly the same goals and efforts that we've always had for the last year and a half that you and I have been connecting and talking to your listeners. Again, the project really stems on connecting people to the Long Island Sound for the first time in almost 75 years. And along with that comes concerns from the neighbors. And so right now where we are is in a public process that is City of Norwalk run with the Planning and Zoning Commission. It kicked off on June the 24th with the submittal of an application that described uses that we are looking at for Manresa Wilds for the park. And it continued from there with a number of different public hearings where the community is welcome to come in and voice concerns and also voice support. And so we have a meeting coming up actually on Wednesday, August the 19th at 6 p.m., which is a Zoom meeting. And so people are welcome to log in through the City of Norwalk's website to be able to participate there. And we've seen a lot of support, and we've also seen and heard a lot of concerns that we're taking very seriously.
So one of the concerns that we heard about is somebody who lives in the Harborview neighborhood, which is, again, right there next to Manresa Island. And while I think a lot of people love to see new life, they love the idea of a local couple wanting to reinvest in this. And obviously Manresa Wilds is kind of the development team around making this, you know, into kind of being reimagined, obviously, and serving the public, you know, for greater good. One of the biggest concerns has to do with the traffic. And I think what was told to me, Jess, is that they want further vetting of the project's impacts on traffic, noise, and pollution. Really, traffic seemed to be the biggest thing. The idea of that corridor in Lower Fairfield County is already one of the busiest in the entire country, highway-wise. And of course, that then does impact local roads. And so, you know, is that something that is being looked at now, kind of having more traffic studies or looking at that direct impact on traffic specific to the Norwalk and surrounding communities?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things to lay out for this one, Melissa. One is that right now that site is zoned for single family residential. And so much like the real estate developer that came in a couple years ago to the City of Norwalk with hundreds of residential units slated for that site in a marina, the single family use is actually allowed. What's not allowed is building a community park where residents are able to come and enjoy the Long Island Sound at no cost. And so, you know, the goal with the district is trying to be able to create a zone and a regulatory framework that allows the park to move forward. The uses that have been proposed for that district have caused concern. We've always heard, like you said, about remediation and traffic and noise and light pollution. And a lot of it is stemming around the traffic that has been shared through an ORCA report, which actually isn't traffic. It's actually a visitation report and visitation numbers that where there's a potential if all of the uses were to be explored. The interesting thing about the district is that while uses are being explored, they're not all planned for. And so we've definitely announced that the park will be introduced through phases, with phase one of 28 acres opening in 2027 with a trail system and three small pockets, and that a portion of the park will come on in 2032 and that the rest of the park will come on in 2035. And so when it comes to traffic, we need to understand what uses will be allowed in the district or could be proposed in the district. And right now we don't have any idea. All we know is that single family residential is allowed on the site. And so it makes it extremely difficult for us to be able to study exactly what those uses are and how those numbers will be impacted. What I do want to make clear is that we have from day one absolutely 100% committed to running traffic analyses and being able to understand what the traffic will look like and related to the uses that are approved in the project. And that has never, we've never swayed from that. What I do want to say is that when we do open through phases, different uses will come online. And not only are those uses, but we also need to plan for the day-to-day traffic. And I think that is really where that concern is coming in. I think you may have heard me say before, but a traffic issue for the neighborhood is also a traffic issue for Manresa Wilds. And so, you know, the way that we're looking at it is that we're all in this together, where we don't want to overwhelm the road system and we don't want to overwhelm the local network. It's our job to be able to manage traffic for our site, and it's our job to be able to understand how many private vehicles can come onto the site, and we need to work on that in partnership with the city of Norwalk in order to be able to understand where we are in the sense of how many private vehicles can come on without overwhelming the local road system. And our job is, as the park opens, to be able to support people getting to the park over water and in ways that do not rely on public vehicle.
Jess Vanishek is here, the executive director of Manresa Wilds. And earlier this summer, I believe it was late July, there was some opposition growing for certain proposals surrounding Manresa Island. And the biggest concerns from some neighbors had to do with traffic, noise, and pollution. So since then, Jess, correct me if I'm wrong, but some of those concerns that have come up in the zoning process meant tweaking, I would say, some of the plans, correct? My understanding was there was a little bit of reduction in size, for example, for the classroom or the potential amphitheater. Was that in response to the concerns from people?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think, you know, one of the things that we have talked about is, and that was brought up in public meeting, is that we have held community engagement for almost 2 years, it's been 18 months. And we did that as part of this project because it's important that we wanted to hear and that we do want to hear what the community has to say. This is meant to be a park for the community to use. And so therefore, it's important to understand not only what is in opposition, but what people support as well. And so we brought forward that district application with those proposed uses. And when we officially closed our community engagement for Manresa Wilds, it was knowing that the public process would begin, that the City of Norwalk public process would begin through planning and zoning. And I'd say we've heard probably from 100 people or over 100 people, either in support or in opposition. And we've taken all of that into account. We absolutely hear the concerns. We understand why people are concerned, and we are committed to finding solutions in partnership with the city to figure out how to move forward with the district and with the park, knowing that there are these huge benefits to the community and the residents in order to be able to unlock this property. Through that process, we heard some opposition about hotels in particular and lodging, and we removed that from the application. We took that out of the proposal. And the amphitheater is a what we have as a learning pocket in the Northern Forest. It's slated to hold about 30 students seated. And when we came in, we had a limitation of 150 people, and we reduced that down to 100 people in response to community opposition and feedback. I think the other thing that we did was that we looked at traffic solutions, where we proposed a number of different options where the city might consider letting us know how many cars they think should be allowed on the property from a private vehicle standpoint, and different ways in which we would commit to managing that traffic.
Right, because as you mentioned before, Jess, you had said, you know, and I don't want to misquote you, but you said, you know, if it's a neighborhood traffic problem, it's going to be a Manresa Wilds traffic problem as well. So, you know, do you think that the city needs to have more traffic studies done? Would that, I mean, is that something you would like to also see done?
This is really about partnership, right? And I think that that's the name of the game. So when it comes to, you know, what the neighborhood is looking like, what it will look like when Manresa Wilds is open. One of the things that we are suggesting through this proposal is that we are absolutely 100% committed to doing traffic studies. We would like to know the uses that the community would like to see at the park in order to be able to run those traffic studies accordingly. Regardless of what the traffic studies show, we have the ability to manage traffic in a meaningful way. It's a private site that's run by the 501c3. And so we have the ability to, like other state park systems around the state, we have the ability to say that we've reached our capacity through private vehicles, or that we're managing to a certain number depending on what's going on that day. And so I believe that everybody is aligned with additional traffic studies. I think more the question is, when did the traffic studies come? And my belief is that they should come when we have an idea about what we will be able to study on site, and we can manage the number according to what we believe will not overwhelm the system, and understand sort of with the city what that looks like.
There also seem to be concerns, Jess, in regards to ownership down the road. So right now, as you mentioned, it's a private site that's owned by a couple and is being run, you know, as unless I'm getting this wrong, by a 501c3. But there are concerns about, you know, what if you just want to make bank? You know, not to say the McCords are those, but that has been a concern that's been voiced, at least to me here on the show, that, you know, if you develop this site, you make it into something, but then you sell it because you technically could. I feel like this insecurity as well of feeling like a lack of, I want to say, control, or feeling like this is not going to just be something that's a one off, like I'm going to make a bunch of money off of this and who cares? What would you say to those concerns?
What I can say is that, you know, there is absolutely no intention at all in any way, shape, or form of selling the property or not carrying on the park in perpetuity. And I think the McCords have said that publicly. They've committed publicly that there will be an endowment that they put in place in order to retain the park. There's a lot of effort and a lot of resources that are going into cleaning up a property that no one has had any interest in even touching for over 75 years. And so, you know, that property has changed a lot. It's not clean. It is dirty. The effort that has been made and the teams that have been put in place in order to be able to be thoughtful about the restoration of this site and the way in which to restore this site to lift ecology, I think should be highlighted as part of this process. We've spent a couple of years now just highlighting how amazing the teams are in the work and what they do, and the reasons why the application has moved forward with the approaches and the recommendations that it has. There's been a lot of questions about, you know, intention, and a lot of questions about sort of what will happen to the property over time. And, you know, while I don't think that they're misplaced, because I think they're coming from genuine concern, what I can say is that there's no intention of selling the property. There's no intention of going to this level of study and ecological restoration and meeting with the neighbors each and every single day of this project in order to be able to understand how to make it better and how to address concerns. And, you know, again, the McCores have committed publicly not only funds to be able to clean the park up, but also to have the park run as a 501(c) in perpetuity. We've seen this around the country. This isn't a unique model in the sense of having a private philanthropic group or founder and funder be able to support a park of this size, especially in perpetuity. And so, you know, I understand where the fear is coming from, and I do hear that. I really do. But I also think that there are examples of really amazing people and really good people out there that commit their personal funds to make something better for everyone.
And again, Jess Bonachek, I want to thank you and your team at Manresa Wilds for always making the time for us here on WICC. Jess is the executive director. And I did put a link on our website, voiceofct.com, if you want to learn more, stay engaged. As Jess mentioned, the next upcoming Zoom meeting is going to be actually this Wednesday. So definitely lean in, get involved, and they want to hear from you. And if you want to learn more about the project, again, we have a link on our website, voiceofct.com. Jess, thank you so much for your time. I'm sure we'll talk again soon.